Welcome back, everyone. We'll continue on here at the BMO Telecom Conference. We are delighted to have Mirko Bibic, the CEO of BCE. I think everyone knows all about BCE. So, Mirko, good morning.
Good morning, Tim. How are you?
I'm well. How are you doing?
I'm doing well.
Mirko, I thought we'd start with a discussion on COVID in terms of high-level terms. How is that impacting BCE? Not so much, we can get into metrics when we talk about sectors, but from a broader strategic perspective, how is BCE changing with COVID?
So, I mean, it's a good question. Q2, when we at the onset of COVID, clearly was a low watermark for the industry. That's not surprising. And the focus now is on generating momentum back in the business. And, you know, how do we do that? Well, you know, first we, with the stores being practically all closed during Q2 and now being frankly all open, that's one opportunity to generate momentum back in the business. And it's also, you know, in terms of how COVID's affected us, it's changing how we do things. And if you take a step back and think of some of the trends that I think are going to be here to stay as a result of COVID, just knocking off three or four of them, I think, you know, consumer perception of the value of our services has changed in a profound way. I think the perception's changed around value is not just price. Value is price, and particularly quality and robustness of networks. And that filters into government perceptions of our industry, which, so you combine those two things, consumer perceptions and government perceptions, and you've got some pretty, you've got a profound trend that I think we are poised to capitalize on. Another thing in terms of a trend is the move towards digitization. Very, very important in so many ways. It's about using multiple channels to serve the customer. So it's meeting the customer where the customer wants to be. And it's not about, you know, viewing retail stores as one channel, call centers as one channel, and the digital, you know, platforms as another channel. It's putting them all together and having them work in unison for the customer so that they can, you know, if the customer wants to start their, you know, their shopping journey in one place and end in another, we can leverage all our assets. So I think that's a fundamental a trend that we're going to be capitalizing on. And I think the third one, and I'll leave it at that to this question, is the importance of, you know, we can talk about 5G later, but let's right now, the importance of fiber. And, you know, the deeper we deploy fiber, there's just so much goodness from us in terms of subscriber growth, revenue growth, and cost reduction. Because where we have fiber, we have a better network, we have a happier customer, we have fewer calls, we have fewer truck rolls. Our install times are significantly lower with our, you know, our fiber installs are significantly lower than our other technologies. And our repair truck rolls are significantly shorter in duration compared to our other technologies. So, you know, when you look at all that and the trends that COVID has brought, how do you capitalize on those trends in the short term and in the longer term? You've got to lean in on investment in our networks and in our investment in our digital platforms. And that's what we're doing.
Just on that, have you accelerated the fiber deployment through COVID?
Well, you know, in terms of some, you know, when Q2 came along and we started talking about the rest of 2020, you know, some participants in the industry across North America actually signaled an intention to scale back investment in order to preserve cash flow. You'll recall in our, you know, our two quarterly results calls, we leaned in. And I said quite categorically that we had no intentions to veer off our 2020 CapEx plans. And we stuck to that. And the emphasis, the priorities for CapEx has been fiber deployment stay on plan, wireless home internet deployment stay on plan, 5G, and we launched that on June 11th, as our investors all know, and you know, continue to invest in the digitization initiatives that I just talked about. So right on pace.
Okay. Maybe let's switch to some of the businesses. And Let's start with wireless. Q2, obviously, almost a lost quarter for the industry with retail shutdowns. How has the recovery been through Q3?
Yeah, so the momentum, as I said, in answer to your first question, Tim, the focus that we have now is generating momentum back in the business. So you're right. As I said, Q2 was a low watermark. And what we've seen with the stores reopening and people getting more comfortable transacting and getting out into malls and, of course, continuing to shop online and calling in, we're seeing every week that goes by a little bit more momentum, every month that goes by a little bit more momentum. So you'll see Q3 will be better than Q2, of course. I'm expecting Q4 to be better than Q3. We're not going to be, if we're still operating in a pandemic, it's around the globe. So you're not going to see us returning to 2019 levels, but I'm really encouraged by the momentum we're seeing. And volumes are still down year over year, but the volume declined much better than it was in Q2. And we're doing things. We're providing customers a healthy and safe environment when they come into our stores. We have things like appointment-based selling where you go online, you book an appointment, you come to the store at the appointed time, we serve you then. Just makes the first of all, it's a better customer experience and makes the customer feel more at ease. So those are the kinds of things we're seeing, and that is generating momentum back in the business. We're right now, we just kind of in the midst of or at the tail end of back to school. It's that's caused more promotional activity, which is understandable. If you think in Q2, most providers kind of shut down their activities. So not surprising that as the economy reopened, that you'd see more activity in the marketplace, particularly trying to capitalize on back to school. But back to school this year has been more muted than in past years. And you heard it from my colleagues at Rogers. There's fewer foreign students. There are fewer students, foreign or otherwise, on campus. Volumes in the malls are still down year over year. There's lower immigration than in past years. So you put all those things together, momentum, but it's not the back to school that we're accustomed to.
And what are you seeing in terms of competitive intensity out there? Is there discipline, or are you seeing some aggressive offers?
Well, there are offers out there because of the particular period of time that we're in. They're not unlike the types of offers we've seen in past years. From my perspective, we're going to be competitive as required. That's our mantra. We don't typically lead pricing, but when we see the need to be competitive, we will always be competitive. But it's not unlike past years. And you look at the promotions now, they appear to be shorter term in duration, so it's what you'd expect.
And how are you seeing the reception or the demand for unlimited plans? And maybe tied into that, a comment on what you're seeing on device financing with the EIP plans.
Okay, so I'll take EIP. So on that, as we went fully installment across both of our Bell and Virgin brands in mid-May, so you're seeing that naturally scale considerably, customers moving to installment plans. I've been a proponent of this, and I've said it every opportunity I can. I think it's the right way to go for us as an industry. And there's two dimensions there. For the customer, should always start with the customer. It provides a mechanism for upfront affordability for a customer that doesn't want to buy a phone outright or cannot afford to buy a phone outright. And it also provides transparency in terms of the cost of the handset. And that's really important, because when you're transparent with customers, you end up with a happier customer in the long run. And then from our side, the level of subsidization across the industry for years and years and years had gotten, frankly, out of hand. So installment plans are, provide a way, I believe, in the years to come to really lower that level of handset discounting in percentage terms or absolute dollar terms. And I have also said, every time I have an opportunity that it's going to work, but there will be times of the year when discounting will accelerate, and back to school would be one. And, Black Friday will likely be another, and, the Christmas holiday season will likely be another. So that's not, what we're seeing in the marketplace right now is not unexpected. I have to say, I am a little bit disappointed. I think we could be, I would have expected that our momentum on reducing handset discounting would have gotten further along than where we are, but we are making progress here.
We heard similar comments from Rogers on that. What do you think slowing that down, if there seems to be agreement from certainly the larger operators that they want to move more aggressively to that model?
I think the short answer to that, Tim, is I can unpack it for a long time, but the short answer is we operate in a competitive market, and the economy reopened, and kind of you're seeing the impacts of that. But you got to look at it over a longer term horizon. And the momentum is there. The momentum definitely is there.
Okay. And how about on base management? How are people migrating to the unlimited plans as you would hope?
Yeah. So, well, on unlimited plans, I think ultimately, again, in terms of the long run and structurally, the unlimited plans are probably the right way to go, and certainly positive for a certain segment of customers. I think as you think about what usage might be with 5G networks down the line, unlimited plans will definitely be of more significant value to customers as we go along. I think the timing of the launch of that is an open question, but we're in it. We see customers continuing to migrate to unlimited plans. We continue to see the majority of customers who migrate are migrating up to higher MRC, higher base plans than those who are downgrading. So most are upgrading compared to downgrading. But there is an overage revenue impact. As you know, we continue to do a really nice job managing our base. We're not force migrating customers to unlimited plans. We're making sure that we have all kinds of options available to our customers. So while we continue to see growth in unlimited plan adoption and a decline in overage revenue, the pacing continues to be around the levels that you've seen from Bell before. And it's a point of strength for BCE and always has been on base management. You see it in some of our other segments. Like we launched Alt TV and we managed the cannibalization really nicely there. We've launched Virgin TV weeks ago, and that's really, protecting cannibalization the way that service was designed in the customer base at segmenting. I'm veering off into TV, but just to make the point that we're good at base management and we're doing that as well.
Okay. You mentioned 5G a couple of times in there, so why don't we unpack that a bit? How are you approaching 5G? And I guess more importantly, how should investors think about 5G and BCE?
So when you think about 5G and the potential of 5G and BCE, I think investors should think about how we are going to lead in this space, and it's going to start from our fundamental position of strength on networks. We launched our network on June 11th in major cities. We're going to continue to expand the geographies throughout 2020 and into 2021. But that's not all. I mean, when you think about 5G, you got to think about speed, and we lead in speed. Coverage, of course, which I talked about. You need to think about latency. You need to think about multi-access edge computing. And then you need to think about distribution. And distribution on the consumer side, we all kind of intuitively know the advantages that Bell brings, but 5G and the potential of 5G and IoT in the enterprise and B2B space, and think about our distribution advantage, the Bell Business Markets distribution advantage in enterprise. You think about how we have 90% plus of our cell sites are fiberized. You think about the advantage spectrum position we have, particularly going into the 3.5 spectrum, and you think about the central offices that we have that become multi-access edge computing data centers. You put that package together, and that puts Bell in a position, an advantaged position as we head into 5G, as we think about the growth potential in B2B, enterprise, IoT. And then in the near term on the consumer side, I think what you'll see is, the immediate benefit of 5G, like right now, is a speed boost. And a speed boost is a better experience, more usage, and as you get more usage, customers will ramp up on the plans that, that they choose. So that's how I look at it, short term, and in the long term, of course, there'll be more consumer applications that are pretty exciting that will come on stream that will generate more usage and huge opportunity, I think, on B2B enterprise IoT.
Right. Okay. Maybe let's switch over to wireline now. Once again, a recurring theme today, but a very unique back-to-school market with a foreign students and less immigration. But it's still, you know, I would expect there's a lot of demand on the internet side with everyone working from home. What are you seeing on wireline metrics in Q3?
Yeah, you're quite right, Tim. So I'm not going to repeat my answer on back to school, kind of the same trends we see in wireless, we see in wireline. So a lower level of activity in the market, but improving, but definitely significantly lower level of disconnections. And I was quite pleased with our wireline results in Q2, and particularly our internet results. Our subscriber loadings, again, particularly on internet, but not just internet, were very strong in Q2, in my view. And, you know, momentum continues in Q3. And I take a step back. It's okay, particularly at all times, pandemic or not, but particularly during this period of time, the kind of a little bit what I said during, you know, when we kicked off the session, the consumers understanding and appreciating the power of a fiber network and the value that that brings is profound. For the competitive positioning of Bell and BCE in the long term, and it speaks to the value of the fiber deployment. And you can see our retail internet revenue growth very strong, even during the pandemic, and that's going to continue. And on the business side, on wireline, the business side, very, you know, particularly in the enterprise segment, very stable. You know, you've got some things that quite aren't there like they used to be at the same level as they used to be, like professional services, managed services, but connectivity, audio conferencing, video solutions, very strong, and that continues to be stable.
You know, a lot on the enterprise side, Bell has a lot of large institutions, which and a lot of these companies have a lot more people working from home. Are you seeing any incremental opportunities there to facilitate that, given that, you know, you're so well positioned to do that?
Yeah, there are opportunities there, and we're working on some things with some enterprise customers. But whether or not it's a formal program with your employer, or you just need to have the best connectivity for in your home to accommodate your work and your family's e-learning and entertainment viewing, you know, for whatever reason you need a broadband connection, I think customers are appreciating that the power of fiber. Think about the upload and, you know, the download and upload speed symmetry that fiber brings, that we bring to the marketplace. You know, now we've got real proof points that customers are beginning to understand. Upload's important, really important. And fiber has an advantage in that regard. So it's, you know, it's a continual process of customer awareness that's kind of benefiting us in the short term and is going to have a lot of benefits in the medium and long term for us.
Okay. You mentioned it briefly, Mirko, but I'm wondering if you could just dive into a bit into the video positioning you have and the video product innovation you have, because you've got Fibe TV as sort of, I guess, the premium brand, but you've got Alt TV, you just launched Virgin TV, you've got Bell Streamer. I mean, you're segmenting the market there. Could you just maybe position those strategically for people so they understand that strategy a bit more?
Right. So we're approaching that video segment, the TV segment, from the perspective of always looking, okay, what does the customer want? And not every, customers aren't homogeneous here. They have, you know, different customer segments have different desires. So we have IPTV, which is our fully featured IPTV service, which continues to be the predominant way we offer TV in the marketplace, and it continues to hunt, and it's market leading. And then we have Alt TV for those. that customer segment who's not in the market for the fully featured service and it would otherwise leave the ecosystem. So it's an app-based streaming-like service that still operates in the regulated ecosystem and offers the full suite of channels that you may want, but without, you know, set-top box, and it's app-based. It's got that, you know that app look and feel. And then the streamer is a new innovation that we just introduced into the marketplace. It's an Android-based device. It's very small. It functions like a set-top box. And what that allows, it allows an alt TV customer or a Fibe TV app viewer to have easy access to big screen viewing. Because we find that with alt and with the Fibe TV app, if you provide a convenient way for the customer to view that on a big screen, user engagement goes up significantly. And of course, that lowers churn. And on the Virgin TV side, we had a whole segment of customers, Virgin TV, who were not a TV customer. Sorry, Virgin Internet customers. Turns out that they view content, significant amounts of content, but they were not with Bell TV, with any one of our Bell TV products, whether that's Alt TV or whether that's Fibe TV. So what Virgin TV does is it's like Alt, but for the Virgin brand, and it allows us to capture TV viewing from the Virgin Internet customer base. So zero cannibalization of what would otherwise be Bell TV, because these customers aren't with Bell TV.
Gotcha. Okay. We're a bit pressed for time. Maybe if I could just jump ahead a bit, and you mentioned it at the outset, and that's the regulatory file. Networks across Canada performed very well during COVID. We saw cabinet return the decision on wholesale internet, but then we saw a Court of Appeals come back. We haven't seen the wireless review yet. How are you thinking about the regulatory file and the implications for investors?
I think I view the regulatory environment as quite stable and beginning to be positive in terms of encouraging significant investment in networks. And if you just take a step back, I think it's really important. If you go back 15 years of concern in the country about the quality of networks, and since then we have globally leading networks, whether it's wireless or wireline, then the focus shifted on pricing, and we've seen significant movement in the country on pricing because of competition, because of move to unlimited plans, installment plans, etc. Pricing is solid in Canada in terms of when you compare to other countries. And now there's a focus on the quality of networks and accessibility of the networks, particularly in rural areas. And we cannot, as a country, deliver on those needs without a regulatory environment that fosters investments. And it's got to foster significant, massive investments in the near term. And I think there's an appreciation of that by the regulator, by the government, by the industry. And you saw signs of that last month when Minister Baines clearly signaled to the CRTC that the wholesale internet rates they had established a year ago would undermine investment in facilities. And that's concerning. So that was a good sign. So then you ask yourself, okay, if those are the signals that are going to be sent to the industry and to the regulator by the government, then why not do more? We can do more. And we're seeing signs of that. We at Bell have accelerated our wireless home internet service in underserved or unserved rural areas in 2020 because we understood there was a need. So we advanced our deployment to 137,000 homes at the end of April, just announced last week an acceleration of another 80,000 homes. It's important, it serves the need, and it's a good customer segment for us as well.
Okay. Have you any sense on timing of when the wireless review will be released?
I don't know. I mean, I don't think it'll be too long, but I don't really, Tim, I don't really have a sense of when it might be.
Gotcha. Okay. Just a couple more then. Maybe just a quick comment on media. It's a very small piece of Bell's business mix, but, is there reason to be encouraged by the return of sports and and I guess a stabilization or a bit of growth in the economy? Are you seeing categories come back?
We're seeing categories come back, but Q2 was tough.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly, Q2 was tough for media across the board. I mean, advertisers pared back for understandable reasons in Q2. Since then, we're seeing again, back to, I've used the word several times this morning, some momentum back in the media business as well. You know, nowhere near 2019, but better than Q2. Some of the categories are coming back. And return of live sports, very, very important, very, very positive. We're seeing good ratings and some revenue come back there. And the return of the fall season, we will have a fairly robust fall schedule, both on the French language and English language side of things. So that bodes well for continued momentum as we head into 2020.
Okay. And that last one, Mirko, you're an investor conference. You can't escape the dividend question. Maybe just wrap it up with what capital priorities are at Bell over the next into 2021.
Yeah, for sure. So we know what our investor base expects from us, and it's a stable, secure, and growing dividend. And we're going to continue to deliver on that. And I think we sent some pretty clear signals throughout 2020 on that. But when you think ahead, I mean, how do we continue to provide that to investors? We need to have a growing business and a healthy business. And then, how do we deliver on that? We deliver on that by continuing to have the best networks, so continuing to deploy 5G, continuing to deploy fiber, expand that program. Just leads to subscriber momentum, revenue growth momentum, better customer experience. Continue with the digitization initiatives that I referred to earlier. So when you kind of put all that together, those are where our CapEx priorities are going to be. And that's going to ensure continued growth in this business. That's going to allow us to deliver on that growing dividend.
That's great. I think we'll leave it there, Mirko. Thank you very much for dialing in today, and we'll catch up soon.
Thank you, Tim. Thanks for having me.
Bye now.
Have a good session.